It is any parent's nightmare that your child ends up in the care of a predator. Well, that nightmare came to life in Bethany, Connecticut a few years ago. You probably remember this story. It was a former employee of the Bethany Public Schools let go and then hired by the Parks and Recreation Department. And it all came to light that he was mistreating children in the care of the Parks and Rec for a summer camp. Ultimately, this man was arrested and charged with multiple felony charges, including sexual contact with a victim under the age of 13, first-degree sexual assault, and risk of injury to a minor. So an independent investigation happened in May of 2025, and also the Office of the Child Advocate looked into this as well, and since then has found a number of critical failures in the system, especially for programs that are operated without a license. They're license-exempt programs, essentially. So I wanted to have back on the show with us Christina Gio, who is, again, the acting child advocate for our Connecticut Office of the Child Advocate. Twice in 1 week, Christina, but I really appreciate you giving us the time on this story.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for talking about this really important issue.
I mean, I think one of the most jarring parts of this, because we discussed this story with my audience, so they're very familiar with it, and just even the recap should make anybody feel uncomfortable. I can't believe, just really quickly, that Bethany Parks and Rec is still operating without the license requirements. Mm-hmm. That's
right.
Crazy.
Right.
I don't understand.
I mean, all municipal youth camps are operating without a license right now. I do want to just step back just to clarify one factual thing, right?
Sure.
Which is that this Mr. Mastrangelo was actually an employee at Bethany Park and Rec prior to being at Bethany Public Schools. And when Bethany Park and Rec hired him, they did not do a background check. Had they, they would not have found anything at the time. So I do want to just clarify that. There are still major issues that came out of our investigation that really we need to talk about. But I just wanted to clarify that. There were issues in terms of how they responded once they learned of the allegations, and that was detailed in that report that you mentioned that was done by Pullman and Conley.
Well, and it is important to note that, and I thank you for doing that, Christina, because first of all, I don't want it to sound like the people at Parks and Rec asked for this. Here's the thing, is because it's not, they're exempt from having this type of license, and to your point, you're saying Parks and Rec in general, they don't have to have this for their summer camps?
So municipal youth camps are mm-hmm. exempt from licensure, as are municipal child care settings and a long list of other child care settings. There are a number of exempts. So in general, child care settings and youth camps have to be licensed. And then we have exemptions. So municipal settings, right, municipally operated youth camps and child care settings are exempt. And then in terms of child care, boys and girls clubs are exempt, and there are five specifically identified entities in our statute that are exempt. So there's a list of exemptions. So it's important for parents to understand there's a difference between a licensed child care setting or a licensed youth camp and one that is exempt from licensure.
Well, and so we'll get into why there would even be that option. But for people who are saying, what does that matter? First of all, you brought up background checks. This is why I don't want the Parks and Rec people to feel like, wow, Melissa, you're really like you're coming down hard on us. They don't have to do background checks, correct? So being license exempt, one of the things that's a problem with that is it's not breaking the law if you don't do a background check. They didn't do anything wrong, technically, correct?
That's correct. Because they're exempt from licensure, they're exempt from all of the requirements that go along with that. One of those being background checks, right? And there are others which we can talk about. But absolutely, if you're a license exempt child care setting or youth camp, those licensing requirements, including the requirement that you do a background check, do not apply.
Okay. There's a couple other things that really bother me about being license exempt. Mm-hmm. One of which is that individuals who may be employed in license-exempt childcare settings. And again, Christina, you just gave a great list of that. You're talking about camps. You're talking about childcare programs, again, at the municipal level. You're talking about Boys and Girls Club, for crying out loud. So, these are, and there is a place for those. You know, I was mentioning the other day, Christina, that we have a seven-year-old. And let me tell you, sending this kid to camp for 5 weeks, we got to budget out starting in February. That's how expensive it is. So yes. I understand how expensive childcare is, after school programming, camps just for the summertime. I get it. There is such a place for municipal-based programming, and a lot of them do a great job. So I don't want this to sound like that they don't, because they do. I mean, Boys and Girls Club, and again, there's I could go on and on. But I got to get back to kind of what this means when they're license exempt and why this is such a problem. Individuals who are employed in license exempt childcare settings are not mandated reporters. That means they do not need to report reasonable suspicions of child abuse. That's insane.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is, Christina.
It is. You know, when we looked at the statute and looked at, you know, people employed in childcare settings, it says licensed by the state. And so that's right. They are not mandated reporters. Now, if you're a registered nurse who is working in a license exempt setting, you're going to be a mandated reporter because you're a nurse. But if, you know, you're someone who was hired to provide care to children in that setting and you're not a mandated reporter because of some other license you hold, you're not a mandated reporter. And none of the folks in those settings are required to receive mandated reporter training, right? If you're in a licensed childcare setting, a licensed youth camp, OEC, the Office of Early Childhood, which is the licensing agency, has requirements that you train your staff on mandated reporting. If the child's in a license exempt program, that is not required.
Why? Okay, let me just get right to it. Why would anyone be license exempt? Because just the logic of what you are saying, Christina Gio, what you are saying right now is that if I'm handing my kid over to Parks and Rec, Boys and Girls Club, anything at the municipal level, if I am handing my most precious cargo over to somebody else, why in the world would we allow it to be license exempt? Why is that even a reality we're living in? That's insane to me.
Yeah, it's a really good question. And you know, we grappled with this a little bit in our report because there have been several attempts to require licensure of municipal camps or like the Boys and Girls Club, right? And they have been they have not succeeded. And in large part, that's because some of these settings are settings that provide lower cost childcare. So what we thought about and what we recommended was, okay, licensure does come with a cost. There are lots of rules that apply to licensed entities, right? And some of them are physical plant requirements. They can become costly. And so the argument has been, if we license these settings, it's going to really increase the cost, and that's going to affect access for, in particular, low-income folks to those settings. And so what we said is, okay, let's instead of sort of saying let's license them and have them meet all the requirements of license, let's make sure we have the basic foundation of child safety in those programs, which would be, let's make sure that people who present a known safety risk to children are not employed in those settings. That's the basics, right? And when you, like you said, I have kids too. I brought them to childcare, right? When you bring your child to a childcare setting, you are doing that with the belief that the people who work there are safe and appropriate and should be working with children, right? And, you know, I had a, when I first learned that municipal camps were not licensed, my child was in an after-school program at his school. And I thought, is that not, did I inadvertently enroll my child in the
worst
not
feeling
program?
Ever? Worst
and
feeling ever.
And it was.
It shouldn't even fall on parents to ask that, though.
It was a YMCA.
It was a YMCA,
and they were licensed, right? And I do want folks to know that they can check. There's very easy way to check. If we have time to do that, I do want to give some information on how parents can check and find out if there have been complaints to the place that they're bringing their child.
We're chatting with Christina Gio, who, again, is the Acting Child Advocate for the Connecticut Office of the Child Advocate. And definitely, Christina, I want to get you know, obviously what parents can do today, what they can do, you know, especially because I know a lot of parents are already signing up their kids for summer camp. So I definitely want that from you. Before we do that, though, I have to say it's crazy that we even have to tell parents like, hey, you should check to make sure where your license, if you're at a license exempt place. I mean, it's wild. We're kind of relying on parents to do it unless we can pass laws to change things. So I get it always comes down to the God almighty buck, doesn't it? So fine. Licensing is expensive. I get it. I don't want these programs to be more expensive for people. We already have an affordability crisis. I totally understand that. And I'm fine with that. But are there certain things we could do, regardless of having a license or not? Is there a way to implement, for example, that you have to have mandated reporting? That should just be a no-brainer, or that you need to do background checks, because again, you're talking about your one of your most vulnerable populations, which are children.
So we recommended really three things. One is to make sure the individuals employed in those settings are mandated reporters, right? Amending our statute to make that clear. Second, requiring that individuals working in those settings are trained in mandated reporting laws, right? The sort of second bucket was with regard to the background checks. So what we proposed is if you are license exempt, you are still required to follow essentially the same rules that apply to the childcare settings or youth camps to ensure that you've completed background checks on your employees. And then the third thing, and this is a little bit of a technical legal thing, but is the information sharing, right? So we have laws that require DCF to notify certain employers when there's an allegation of abuse and when there's an investigation, what the results of the investigation are, right? And there's some question as to whether or not that applies to these license-exempt settings. And even in the Bethany case, we saw there was sort of inconsistency in how that was applied. So we want to make sure we really clarify the law so that if an individual is working in one of these settings and then an allegation comes up, right, you background check, there's nothing, something happens, there's a report. We want to make sure that DCF notifies those employers, whether they're licensed facilities or not licensed facilities, notifies them of the allegations and then notifies them of the results. So those are sort of the three things, the mandated reporting, the background checking, and the notifications, right? Because sometimes we'll hire people who don't have a background and then something happens. And we need to make sure we close the loop on that and that those individuals can be removed from employment.
How, and now is this something, Christina, that could pass now? I mean, is this something that, and when I say that, like, do we have to wait for the legislative session to wrap up, or when you guys send recommendations? So your report came out. I can't imagine, other than, again, money, I can't stand it. I get the money aspect of it. But anybody who sits here and is like, nope, we're just going to kind of stick with the status quo. Those families in Bethany, they'll recover at some point. I just can't imagine people being like, this doesn't make sense. And again, these seem like very logical fixes that could be done, honestly, today. And the reason I ask that is because, again, we are in this season right now where families are trying to figure out what their at least the summer plans are going to look like. And even kids are in after school programs now. I mean, how quickly could these changes go into effect?
So there is a bill pending in the legislature that was raised by the Children's Committee. It doesn't do everything that's in our recommendations. Our recommendations actually came out the day that the public hearing was happening on that bill. But there is a bill to create a working group to find out what the numbers are. Because here's one of the challenges. We have no idea how many of these there are. We have no idea how many children are in them. We don't know. So in order to sort of put something in place, the first step really is we need to find out where they are, who's operating them, how many kids they're serving. So this bill that's pending right now focuses specifically on municipal youth camps. It's a start. I don't know, you know, the legislative process is such that, you know, the bill is proposed, there's a public hearing, and then sometimes there are changes to the bill, sometimes there are not. We did advocate for the bill to go a little further and to include sort of all of these license exempt camps, even if it's a working group, just to find out how many there are, where they are, so we can move down this path of making these requirements. And you know, the other thing is, all of these municipal camp settings and all of these license exempt settings can also voluntarily background check their employees. They don't need a law to say they can run a background check.
Right. You could just do the right thing. Yep. You could totally just do the right thing. That would be cool.
Exactly.
We'd love that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's right. And if, you know, if your child is in a camp, I mean, or, you know, you're trying to enroll, ask them if they're licensed. And if they're not licensed, ask them if they're background checking.
Yeah,
right.
That's a great point.
And again, I can share information. I don't know if you want me to do that, but
I would, Christina, because obviously the other half of this is that parents could certainly be proactive and just make sure that your kids are in good hands. Absolutely.
Yeah. So 211, a lot of people are familiar with 211. It's 211ct.org. If you go to that website, you go to their specialized programs, 211 child care. You can put in your zip code and find the licensed child care settings and youth camps near your home. And more importantly, that's going to tell you if they're licensed, because those are going to be licensed program. And second, you can actually look at what their inspections are, because the Office of Early Child inspects licensed settings. So what were the inspections? Were there violations? What were the violations? You actually can see the reports of the violations. So that's really important when you're looking for a child care center, is to look on that website, confirm that they're licensed, and then look at the inspection reports. And if there are findings and violations, look at those. You know, because there's a variety of violations. It might be someone didn't sign a piece of paper properly, right? But it could be something much more important than that. So you want to look at that and check out those centers and youth camps before you enroll your kids.
Yeah, I think it's really important that we provide that website certainly to you at home if you're interested. So what we're going to do is we're going to link that and more information to Christina's podcast. And when we post it at the end of the show, you could find it on voiceofct.com under Melissa in the Morning. Christina Gio, appreciate the work that you do and for always making yourself available twice in 1 week. I'm Melissa in the Morning, by the way. Thank you so much again. Acting Child Advocate for the Connecticut Office of the Child Advocate here on WICC.